You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy game day, everybody. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And of course, because it is a game day Monday, this is also the Catholic Health Extra Point Show on Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. It is, of course, game day, Josh. We are here on Facebook Live, so if you want to hang out with us there as well, good morning. It is gloomy as hell outside. Doesn't look like it's going to rain, though.
Vibes are
game
high.
Day.
Vibes are high.
Vibes are okay.
Hey,
it's 10 in the morning, and I've got the game at 7:30. We've still got a while to go.
We're going
to
find out what the weather does later on in the show, as we have Patrick Hammer on with us at 11:30. We got Sal coming up at 10:30. Mm-hmm. Do some last minute injury stuff.
Report.
Just talking about the game coming up and everything like that.
Was it pass interference, Sal? Coming up at 10:30.
I think anyone can tell you that it was.
It was pass interference.
We also have a doubleheader today. Sabres play tonight. 5:00.
I thought you were going to say it's doubleheader. We have Cincinnati and Washington tonight.
Oh, no. The more important doubleheader is the Sabres play
there
tonight
is.
At 5
there
against the Columbus Blue Jackets, another Ohio team. Rasmus Dahlin back at practice today, which
was back at practice.
Very good to see. But yeah, so Buffalo doubleheader today, doubleheader on Monday Night Football. You got the Bengals and Commanders at 8:15.
Yep, they're at the normal Monday Night Football time.
Everything that's promoting these games says 15 minutes before kickoff because of the pregame show and all that. And
well, remember, the Bills actually kick off at 7:15, not 7:30.
Right.
They shouldn't be allowed to do that. And it bothers me so much.
It's confusing because everyone, I had four calls this morning. I'm like, is it 7:15 or 7:30? And I was like, I think 7:15.
7:30.
I don't know. It says 7:15. And then it's like, nope, it's 7:30. It's like, oh, cool. Great. Thank you for confusing everyone.
It's the best. I can deal with Sunday night games.
Right.
There's a part of me that can also deal with Thursday night games.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like Monday night games.
Really?
I do not like the tension that I feel constantly.
Oh, because you're waiting.
It's the wait.
Right.
Thursday night, boom, we're the first game. We open the week up. Sunday night, you're kind of watching football all Sunday. You know, the fun song of you've been waiting all day for Sunday night. It makes sense. It works. It's fine. What have you. Monday night, I've got to do a whole other sleep. And then the work day.
You don't have football to watch.
Play.
You don't have football to watch all day. You just have to work somehow.
I'm finding myself in a weird spot, Josh, because I'm somebody, I mentioned it with Sal last week, and we've talked about it a lot too. I'm somebody that does lean into the historical aspect of the Bills hate playing the Jaguars. The games get funky really fast.
They don't
fast.
Hate playing the Jaguars. The Jaguars just have a voodoo doll of something with Buffalo that makes them win every time.
Either way, I hate it. And I don't enjoy playing the Jaguars. I don't like their uniform combos either, so I don't find it all that aesthetically pleasing.
The only thing I like is the leaping Jaguar logo that they brought back.
That's cool.
That's cool. But
that's fine.
Everything else is what are you doing?
I want out.
Get better.
And now that it's a Monday night game, I found myself last night watching a little bit of the Atlanta Falcons and Kansas City Chiefs play. I'm like, oh, come on. I've got so long to go.
I have 24 hours to wait still.
I've still got so long to go.
I will say it's big that it's at 7:30.
Well, yeah, instead of the normal 8:15, 8:30.
Even though it's only 45 minutes, that makes a big difference in terms of being able to go to sleep at a somewhat normal time.
Well, I know Jeremy was talking too about putting the kids to bed.
Yeah, right.
And that whole sleep schedule, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Quote unquote fun to deal with. But I'm at a point. I'm like, let's go. Let's hurry this up. I'd be all for Monday night games, 10 in the morning. Let's go. That's when we're playing.
So Monday morning games?
Monday morning games. We are doing European games.
Everyone's at work.
No. Just we have off.
Oh, it's a national holiday.
It's like a national holiday, the Monday night games.
Ooh,
become Monday morning games, and we all just play it then.
This is how you do the doubleheader. 10 a.m., and then whenever that game's over, boom, you start the second game.
There we go.
There's your doubleheader. Or you can do a tripleheader. 10 a.m., 1 p.m.,
I will tell you, I don't like the doubleheaders. To me, it defeats the purpose of Monday Night Football.
Oh, the prime
time. The mystique and the prestige of it. It used to be the premier primetime game. I think Sunday has kind of overtaken it. Now it's you got two of them going. a neutral fan is going to jump probably in between the two of them. One's on ABC, one's on ESPN. Of course, us being Bills fans and covering the Bills, we're going to stick with the Bills game the entire time.
Right, yeah.
But to me, like, that's where it defeats the purpose of just...
Well, but also, too, I wonder how much you're going to get the double box of, oh, look what just happened
in
the Bengals-Commanders game. It's like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm watching the Bills
never.
Game. I want that when I'm watching Red Zone. I don't want that when I'm watching my team's game.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. Like, even before, like, I was working the games... When the Bills were on, I didn't watch Red Zone. That's why, like, right. A big part of it was why I didn't buy it. It was like, the Bills don't play at 4 o'clock. They don't really play many primetime games.
It's the exact opposite.
Now it's the opposite where, like, I'm, like, looking through the schedule, and I'm like, all right, well, you know, Baltimore's a Sunday night game. Okay, like, so we're going to have, you know, kind of an open window there. Okay, Houston's a 1 o'clock game. The Jets are Monday night game. Like, and I'm just going through it. So, like, it makes more sense to have it now, but.
Houston being 1 o'clock is just insane.
Are they any good? Are they any good?
Are the Vikings good is the real question.
I kind of wanted to jump in that a little bit later, but we can do that now. Just like watching the games yesterday, including the Chiefs, I find myself not really thinking anyone is all that good.
I
don't think there's a great team in the NFL.
Well, it goes back to the conversation we were having last week about the whole thing with the two high safeties and everything that's changing on defense. It's affecting offenses, and it's making the league – it's not making them look bad, but it's making offenses look like they have to figure something out that's different. Which they haven't had to do for the past 4 or 5 years.
Sure, and, I mean, like, if you had a great quarterback and like any like solid receivers, you were fine.
But I think that that's part of the reason why it all looks bad. It's really not. It just looks that way because of the fact that the defenses are so much different this year. And I'm not saying that it's just because of the too high safety. It's a lot of other contributing factors of just superstar players being on defense now. Because, I mean, it's starting in the college level. Look at... A guy like Travis Hunter, he plays both sides of the ball. He's good on both sides of the ball.
So good.
And that looks great. And there's guys around the league that are superstars on defense. One of them that the Bills are going to see tonight that's kind of a rising star is Josh Hines-Allen.
That's right.
But, again, two or three years ago when the Bills played the Jags and it was the 9-6 game, Allen was all over Allen. And it was not the Bills Allen that was all over.
No.
It was the Jaguars. Josh Allen was very good that game, and he hasn't gotten worse. He's gotten better.
He's gotten better, yeah.
So, but again, you look at all of these players, and I think that's affecting what we're perceiving as quote-unquote good football. Because there is still very much...
Oh, no, don't get
like,
me wrong.
Good,
I'm enjoying
good games
this.
And good moments. I mean, even the Giants yesterday, I mean... Malik Nabers.
I feel like that's way more in Cleveland, too. Like, I think Nabers
is
great.
But, I mean, Cleveland's defense, though, that's not... They're no slouch. I mean,
No.
Miles
Garrett that was one of the best units in football last year.
So, Miles Garrett is insane. But...
Left with an injury, though, too.
Fair. But my point there being is, even though you have what's looked at as bad football, it's really... Not.
Well,
it's just
in disguise. I don't think it's been bad football. I just genuinely don't believe there's any great teams in the NFL.
Right. There's good teams, not great teams.
Like,
I mean,
even San Francisco, who many would argue is maybe the most talented team,
right.
The moment their top player gets hurt, it's all downhill.
They have no depth, yeah.
Kittle is so instrumental to their run game. And when he's out, they look like a completely different roster. And the Rams, who are injured to hell, like not the surface level stuff that some of these other teams are, I mean, legitimately just wounded all across the board. Stunningly beat the 49ers. You have the Eagles who, where would they be without Saquon Barkley? Honestly,
right, yeah.
Where would they be without him? Probably 1-2 at best. I don't even know if you beat Green Bay.
Here's
who would love going down.
Here's the superlative I think you could do for every single team in the NFL right now, except for a few ones that are just flat out bad.
The Raiders.
Well, the Raiders, yes, and the Bears. The Bears, what's happening?
The Panthers. The Panthers, we're starting Andy Dalton from day one.
Andy Dalton is good. The Panthers are not.
The only quarterback so far this year to have 300 yards and 3 touchdown passes in a game.
The Panthers organization is not good. The players are.
Maybe.
But my overall synopsis, I think, for the entire league, and you could maybe put the Bills in this too, depending on how tonight goes, every team is just super inconsistent. Every single one of them. There'll go out there and they'll get at least 2 touchdowns and it'll be a somewhat close game. Or you know their defense will go out there and be good. But everything else is just a coin flip and you have no idea what's going to happen. And to be fair, that's how a lot of sports is. But it's kind of weird when it feels like every single team is having the same problems in terms of consistency.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, look, the 49ers, they're injured. And oh yeah, their offense doesn't look very good, but their defense is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, the Cowboys, they can't stop the run, but their offense is still kind of there with CeeDee Lamb.
My goodness, can they not stop the run?
464 yards over two games.
What a saw useless that stat this morning. Defense.
Crazy.
I mean, you kind of like were getting yourself back into that game somewhat, but just never a chance.
I just
awful.
I saw that number this morning on ESPN, and I could not believe what I was seeing.
One time in my life, 464 rushing yards in two games. One time in my life, I actually root for the Dallas Cowboys because I kind of just wanted to see like what would happen if Baltimore did start 0-3, especially with Buffalo going to them
right, yeah.
next week. I was kind of interested in just how that would play out. I know for me, though, personally, I was like, I can't see Baltimore going to 0-4, so like. It made like tonight yeah. feel more important, but yeah, just Dallas's defense atrocious. I mean, a complete train wreck.
What's Micah Parsons gonna do?
He's alone, man. He's more of a pass rusher. He's not really a run stopper, and apparently, no one else on the team is. They're atrocious. They're so bad.
Well, I just mean, what's he gonna do for his contract?
I don't know. Ask for everything. That's what I would do. Stake in ownership. That feels right. That feels good.
Yeah, but are they going to look at him and say, well, you're not doing anything. You're not doing it on the run.
Okay, yeah. Who else is?
I mean, listen, we're talking about Jerry Jones here. Like, yeah. You never know what he's going
to
say.
No, it's fair. That's on the NFC side of things, though. For the AFC, though, to kind of go to the point of there just does not feel like any elite teams. If Buffalo would win today, they'd be the third 3-0 team in the conference.
Yeah.
The others being Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh.
What kind of contract is Justin Fields about to get? That's the real question.
3 years, $30 million. He's not doing anything.
I know, but it's kind of questionable what Pittsburgh going to do with him.
But so them and then Kansas City. And Kansas City, I don't think once has walked away convincingly.
No.
Week one, it's a toe away from losing to Baltimore. Against Cincinnati, it's a somewhat questionable pass interference call. I was for it. I understood it, but I could understand also arguments to not call it. And then last night against Atlanta, a very clear non-call on a defensive pass interference towards right. Kyle Pitts.
And they get kind of lucky on that fourth and inches, too. I mean,
yeah.
It wasn't like Bijan was close to getting the first down, but at the same time, it felt like the Falcons were not in control, but they were definitely a better team than they had looked in the past 2 weeks, especially against the Chiefs.
It looked like they'd taken that last drive from Philadelphia and it brought it back over.
Right. But then their last drive that ended in the fourth and inches kind of just was what Philadelphia did.
But like if the Chiefs are 3-0, and I saw this on Twitter last night too, and I get it. It's like, you know, if this is their worst football, imagine where they're going to be in January. And I'm like, are we sure like they're definitively going to get better? I get it. We probably should give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm actively taking away my benefit of the doubt from the Eagles. I'm not doing that for the Chiefs. But
right, but the Eagles, like, that's a different story.
But I guess my thing is more is like, we talk about progression all the time with players, but like progression is not linear for teams either. The Chiefs could start 3-0 now and never really get better. Rashee Rice is amazing now. I think there's also a fair complaint of he's probably not playing next year. He's likely going to get suspended. He has a ton of felonies just kind of waiting to be figured out.
Yeah.
And then for their defense, Nick Bolton, I think, got hurt last night. Travis Kelce. We're back to retirement talks. That man is non-existent.
He's had 6 targets through 3 games, and I think he's only caught 4 of them.
Yep. Yeah. He has been non-existent.
Speaking of non-existent tight ends, Mark Andrews, real quick. Sorry,
oh, yeah.
I just thought of him. He is.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that one up.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But anyway, you were saying Worthy.
Likely's not even playing well either, but like, but Worthy. Great week one.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't really done much since.
Yeah.
And they're kind of desperate for a number 2 receiver with Hollywood Brown almost definitely out for the year.
Yeah.
He may come back for the playoffs. Not really sure on that. Isaiah Pacheco's down. They're now down to what? Carson Steele?
Ah, Kareem Hunt.
Is he still on the, did they elevate him or is he
well,
still on the
he's
practice,
on the practice squad? But still, he's there.
He didn't play this week. I probably expect him to play next week.
Yeah. But you look at Worthy, I think, is maybe the perfect example of, I think, like, everyone was expecting like just, oh man, 2 touchdowns in opening day. Here we go. Following that, Cincinnati, 4 targets, 2 catches, 17 yards.
Last night wasn't or no. I'm looking at it in reverse order. Sorry. I looked at the Baltimore one.
I mean, you're right though. Yeah. Against Atlanta, 4 targets, 2 catches, 17 yards.
Wow.
In terms of rushes against Cincinnati, 1 rushing attempt for 5 yards. Against Atlanta last night, 3 rushes for 13 yards.
No touchdowns.
So it's not like Worthy's lighting the league on fire. Like, no. I think everyone was anticipating him to do after week one.
He's clearly a part of their offense, but it's not.
Is he?
Well, in terms of, well, I don't know.
That's my thing, is like, is he really? Mm. Are we sure? He kind of just seems to be like, well, you need to be here because we don't have Hollywood Brown. Kelsey's not doing anything, so we kind of need you. Pacheco's not even here anymore.
Yeah, actually,
their offense is basically Mahomes drop back. Hey, where's Rashee Rice? He had 14 targets last night for 12 catches, 110 yards, and a touchdown.
Right. They're going to bring back Kadarius Toney?
No.
No, he signed somewhere. He signed somewhere.
If that happens, I will have many questions for that front office because that's just – that's bad. Like, he was really bad for them. And
he's with Cleveland.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
That's an interesting
spot. But so, like, the Chiefs are sort of like the big kind of thesis to this whole thing is that there's no real great teams. Mm-hmm. They're 3-0, and I would argue all three of their games, they're sitting there going, all right.
The Cincinnati one's the only one where you could maybe say they deserve to win.
But Cincinnati, I would say that Jamar Chase losing his mind on the field and costing his team 15 yards, and which could have been a game-clinching drive, is also kind of like, all right, like just, you know, brush the sweat off your face. I get it.
Yeah.
The Chiefs held together better than Cincinnati. I get that. But it is also one of those things of like, man, if he just didn't freak out about not really a hip point tackle? I mean, like,
a hip drop tackle. He was arguing it should have been a hip drop tackle, and it probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, so he's freaking out about kind of a non-call.
Right. It was very in the moment, though, of like, that looked like one, that felt like one, like, what are you guys doing? And when you look back at it, it's close, but it's not.
So, I mean, you have that. Baltimore, of course, they drove right down the field, and likely if the man just wore size 10 shoes inside 12,
right,
they won that game. And then last night, that's a defensive – that's pass interference.
Yeah, it's textbook pass interference. You're looking away from the ball, hugging the receiver as he's jumping over you.
You know, and it's where just, if I'm the Chiefs, I get giving them the benefit of the doubt and going, we're going to get better. Are you sure?
Because as you went through it, I mean, like I said, I was trying to argue that Xavier Worthy is – they're trying to make him a part of his part of their offense, but overall last night he got 5 touches of the football, two receptions on 4 targets, 3 rushing attempts. That's not really like he's a
not
mainstay. He's not even a number 2 in that. Mm-hmm. And with those even just if he wasn't making catches, if he was getting targets, he's not like it's not a big part of that.
Yeah,
right. And that's where I look at a team like the Bills and what they've done in terms of who they target and how they spread the ball around and how they have changed things between the two games they played so far. And that's where I look at it. And I'm not trying to be biased here or try to, you know, sound like, oh, everything's perfect here in Buffalo. But if one guy doesn't – like if Curtis Samuel isn't there, which he hasn't been really,
I don't think
the offense doesn't falter. If Rashee Rice isn't there, the Chiefs – are done for.
Yeah, they got no options past Rice.
Yeah, and it's like you take out, obviously, you can't sit here and say, oh, well, if they don't have Mahomes, they're not good. Yeah, if the Bills don't have Allen, there's going to be problems.
Right? We're going to have different conversations.
If you look at all of the receivers the two teams have and you say you take away two of them, you could take away two of the Bills' receivers right now and their offense would still be fine tonight because you have James Cook, and depending on who you take away, you have Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel. Like, there's a lot of options there, and they've all been, aside from Samuel, they've all been somewhat consistent.
It's been the argument, too, of, like, the Bills for a long time have not had a number two. They've had the clear-cut one in Diggs, and then afterwards it's been not even a hodgepodge. It's been very concerning past. You'd have one pop-off game from Gabe Davis, and then he would falter for a number of weeks, where now it does kind of feel like week one, Keon Coleman leads the way in targets, receptions, and yards. Week two, it's Shakir. And ultimately for week two, they didn't throw the ball that much. They had short field. They had a lot of turnovers. They had a pick six in there as well. Cook was kind of able to run roughshod, especially because he had the one long run for a touchdown as well. You didn't really get to see, I guess that's my thing too, is up to this point, you've actually not had to see the Bills' offense have to flex their muscles. Because even in week one, and I mentioned this when we were going into the Miami game as well, the comeback was not the same as Miami's. By the first drive of the third quarter, it was a tie ball game. It, you know, ultimately, when they take the lead and then you have the kick return for a touchdown that kind of makes it a game, you take that away, or you've kind of gotten to the point where we're at now, where I think I heard Scott Hansen yesterday on Red Zone, 70% of kickoffs are going either out of the end zone or for touchbacks. Like, if you would have just done that, you're winning the game by like 14 points. You were already at an 11-point lead. And so that's where I'm comfortable with the Bills right now. I think if you would have asked us a month ago, you would have been looking at a number of these teams and going, we don't stack up that well offensively.
Yeah. Like, on paper, it looked really concerning.
Yeah, and as somebody, like, I liked the build. I liked it. I didn't love it. I liked the build going into this year. It was somewhat concerning of, yeah, I was looking at other teams and going, I don't know, man. I don't know. You know what I think maybe is the one great team in the NFL, honestly? Green Bay.
Yeah.
What they're doing with Malik Willis.
Right. He beat his old team.
Dominating with Malik. And they've changed up their offense entirely. I could argue them.
Yeah.
Imagine Minnesota maybe as well, but I'm still not totally sure there.
I'm so frustrated with them because I drafted Sam Darnold on my fantasy team just because.
And you keep benching him,
man. Why not? And I benched him because I'm like, you know what? He's going to be fine, but he's not going to be great. And 3 weeks, I should have played him all 3 weeks, and I probably would have won all three games. And I'm 0-3 because of my quarterback decision. So, hey, Minnesota, Sam Darnold, please, keep it going. Keep it going.
No, don't.
Well,
we got their second-round pick. This is getting frustrating. I was happy with the Houston win.
Yeah.
Because, like,
That in itself was another AFC team that has a lot of question marks, even though they've had a somewhat decent start to the season.
Yeah,
I mean, Houston is now 2-1,
and Stroud, I really don't think has played a great game yet. He's been pretty solid.
And they've also
Collins has looked like a monster.
Yeah, the two games they played before this against the Colts and the Bears, not, you know, amazing, by
especially
any
looking
means.
At the Colts now,
right?
And seeing how that week one. Well, I mean, that's the divisional rivalry. I get it, but the Colts have looked very lackluster, to say the least.
But you beat the Bears by 6 points. You beat the Colts by 2, and then you get blown out by the Vikings.
Yeah,
it just did not look good. And I wonder with Houston, I don't think it's a CJ Stroud problem. I don't really know if there's problems on the Texans. I think it's kind of just like a.
They're playing a tougher schedule.
But they also have to like kind of work it out, period. You know what I mean?
I will say, their offensive line is a nightmare. What was it, four straight offensive line or pre-snap penalties?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think three of them were on Laramie Tunsil. It was wild.
To
watch.
That's like your big question mark there with them. But, I mean, they have the weapons on offense. I think it's just going to take time for them to get it together. That's a team that I think will kind of emerge later in the season. Like how you were saying with the Chiefs they're fine now and they'll get better. That's what I think the Texans really are, is – they're fine now, but they will get better as the season goes on. CJ Stroud might have a little bit of a sophomore slump, but I think with what they have there, it'll be better than what it looks like right now.
But I mean, honestly, you look at the Bills' schedule, and it has somewhat, I don't want to say made you feel more at ease, but I look at it now like Jacksonville, 0-2, and they look terrible.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, when the schedule initially came out, yeah, of course you have the fears of it's Jacksonville, they don't play them particularly well, what have you.
Right.
I now look at them and I go, yeah, but their offensive line is bad. They've got an injury in the secondary.
Their biggest offensive production is the biggest offensive producer has been their kicker.
Yeah, their offense is a joke, and it's at home. The vibes are feeling good with the Bills. They have two major injuries in Bernard, Johnson, and Milano.
Mm-hmm.
But you saw against Miami, they really figured it out. And then you gave them a long week to prepare.
Right.
And it seems like this is just setting up for potentially a really nice game for the Bills' defense, even though the Jaguars had their number. And then you just go on. You've got Baltimore for Sunday Night Football in Baltimore. They have not looked that great. I don't put much credibility into Dallas, Cleveland even, because I know Dallas had like a huge win over them. I don't put much credibility into that. That team just gives up running yards, like it's going out of rushing yards, like it's going out of style. I still think they look very susceptible, especially they're not getting anything out of Mark Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
It's you got to hope Zay Flowers, Derrick Henry, and Lamar Jackson are all in sync for that to even look good. Houston, as we've mentioned, I think they look very gettable. I don't think they've looked great up to this point. The Jets, cool, you have Aaron Rodgers. That is a static offense.
Yeah.
There's no movement. There's no motion. There's nothing. And cool. Good job. You beat a bad Patriots team who happened to beat a terrible week one team in the Cincinnati Bengals who just hates showing up on, like, what, the 15th of September to play football? They hate it.
They hate it.
Cincinnati's not a fan of it.
Can't stand it. Why do we start the football season that day?
They hate it.
Also, fun stat.
And then Tennessee.
Oh, sorry.
Who, I mean, like, Will Levis.
We got our Will Levis picture again yesterday. It was him trying to hurdle two defenders and – just get his feet clipped and he's on the ground.
It's awful.
It's great.
And I'm not saying they're going to go undefeated here, but it as now we're through 3 weeks of games with the last two being tonight. I do look at the Bills' schedule, and it happens every year. This is not like a new phenomenon of like, man, the schedule and everything we're thinking about has changed. This happens every year. Either it gets harder, easier, or it's like, oh, no, this is about what I thought.
Yeah.
There is some sort of understanding you come to rather early on. And for me, it's just it feels like it's a bit easier than initially thought. Now, some of these teams are going to get their injured players back. Like, they have the Rams much later in the year. They're probably going to have Kupp and Nacua back by that point, if not a lot of their offensive line as well. San Francisco, probably going to have all of everybody back
but
at this point.
That's coming off the Bills' bye week, and depending on what's going on with Taron Johnson and Terrell Bernard, you might have those two back at that point.
Yep.
So, and Matt Milano is still up in the air, but they did say initially December.
Yeah.
So, but
I'm feeling really good going into tonight, and I'm feeling good going forward with the Bills season.
Quick stat for you, though.
Mm-hmm.
Fun one from the Jaguars.
Oh, boy.
Who has the most total points on their team right now?
Who is their kicker's name?
Cam Little. He has 12 points across 2 weeks. Trevor Lawrence has 7.
Really?
Wow. Trevor Lawrence has 1 touchdown.
I mean, it took Caleb Williams until week 3 to throw his first touchdown pass.
Right, but this is Trevor Lawrence.
No, I know.
He's in his fourth year. Regardless, he's been in the league long enough where 2 weeks into the season, you should have more than 1 touchdown pass. And he's got 162 yards in the first game against Miami with 1 touchdown pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then in their game against Chicago in week 2, as my computer freezes up on
good.
Here.
That's good.
No, it's great. He didn't have any touchdown passes. He had 220 yards. No touchdown passes.
I feel like this is a normal thing for Trevor Lawrence. Where he will go through runs where like his offense is so inept that just everything collapses.
Travis Etienne's looked good, though.
His rookie year, I remember, I think he had like an 11-game run of not throwing a touchdown pass.
It was
something along those lines.
Yeah, I remember that. But no, Travis Etienne, he's got almost 100 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. So not bad.
803-0550 is the number to call. How are we feeling going into tonight and the rest of the season? We're going to be joined by our own Sal Capaccio coming up after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
They start from the Giants 24. Deshaun Watson into the end zone. Touchdown on the first play from scrimmage, Amari Cooper.
That was basically the highlight for the Browns yesterday.
That was crazy, though. Like, that catch.
Oh, it's a great throw, great catch, and that's basically all the positives they had.
And then Malik Nabor said, cool, watch this, and did the same thing but better.
Do you think Giants fans, though, like, because of how recently OBJ was, that they're kind of like almost...
I was wondering the same thing.
Like, are they sitting here going, I saw this movie before, man. We're still going to be bad.
Now, it'll really repeat itself if in 2 years they get a generational running back.
And ruin them,
and then the wide receiver leaves at the same time.
Been an interesting weekend.
That'd be basically the same thing.
Oh, yeah. It's been an interesting weekend of football with 2 more games to finish out week 3. Of course, the Bills taking on the Jaguars tonight at home. And we go now to the Western Hotline to get more of a look at tonight's game as our own Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning, my friend. How are we doing today?
Pretty good, guys. Happy game day.
Yeah, happy game day. How much football were you able to actually watch yesterday?
Quite a bit, actually. We had a little fall baseball game in the morning, and then I did a TV appearance for Channel 4, and then came home and watched pretty much most of the 1 o'clock games. You know, bumping around. You know, let me say this: I don't know how people do it. Like, holy cow, it's overwhelming trying to keep track of games. Normally at 1 o'clock, I'm at a game, Bills game. If the Bills played 4, then getting ready for a game. But it's tough to keep up with what's going on. But what I do is I put Red Zone on one TV and then the game that's on the local cable on my computer or vice versa. And I just try to follow along. And then I have a tab on my computer screen where I put like all the scores going on around the league so I can kind of keep up with what's going on. And then, of course, you got to check fantasy football. All this is saying, how the heck do you people do it? I have no idea. I watched as much as I could. And then we had plans last night for dinner with friends. So I watched about the first quarter of the 4 o'clock games, and then kind of wrapped up as we were out to dinner.
I feel that. So for me, a lot of it too was Sal yesterday. I was driving home from a wedding with my girlfriend and trying to have her, as I'm driving, set up all my like fantasy lineups and my best for the day. And then getting home and like just sitting on the couch and I'm like, I've got 10 minutes till the game starts. I made great time. and then, by like 2, I was like, this is a lot. So a lot is happening. So many things are going on. It can be exhausting, which is weird. It's a leisure activity for many of us.
Yeah, it's I know that people have talked a lot about, why doesn't the NFL do staggered starts? And I have no idea why they don't necessarily do it. It would help, though, because sometimes you're just caught up between, all these games are kind of third quarter, fourth quarter, relatively around the same time. Not always. They're coming down to the end. There were like 3 games at 1 o'clock, all kind of coming down. You had the Giants and Browns, the Bears and Colts, and the Eagles and Saints, all kind of coming down to the end at the same time. So red zone, they put like the 3 box up, which is fine. But, if we had staggered starts in every 15 minutes, maybe for the 1 o'clock windows or something like that, 2 games at 1, 2 games at 1:20, 2 games at 1:40, we could get some of these starts, these finishes that maybe people could watch. But anyway, it's above my pay grade, I guess. I just don't know why the NFL doesn't do something like that. I know people have talked about it. It's never happened.
It'd be pretty electric to have a game like tee times at a golf course. Like every 5-10 minutes, another game starts. Like, that would be pretty crazy to just have them all kicking off. Like it would be pretty cool. But I don't know. The NFL might not be there quite yet. But speaking of some of the games from yesterday, Sal, I know one game that maybe was on some Bills fans' TV screens was Vikings-Texans. The Vikings beat up on the Texans yesterday. I mean, I don't know if you caught much of that one, but
yeah,
it was a pretty rough game if you're Houston.
Yeah, I think there's 2 different perspectives here, right? First of all, from Houston, they've played pretty well, and then they just went into Minnesota and did not play well at all. And Minnesota, they really confused C.J. Stroud more than I've ever seen. C.J. Stroud was kind of like seeing things that I think, maybe he was not trusting. He did not have a very good game. What were his numbers? Let me look at his numbers overall. C.J. Stroud, 20 of 31 for 215, a touchdown and 2 interceptions. The Vikings did a really good job. Kevin O'Connell deserves a lot of credit for what he's done. Remember last year, Josh Dobbs comes in like 4 days and he looks pretty good, right? And then O'Connell gets, Sam Darnold. I said when J.J. McCarthy went down that it might be like better for their season for Darnold than McCarthy. It's not better for the organization necessarily. It's better for their season. And it is. I mean, Sam Darnold has looked really good so far. But I would also tell you guys, out of all the teams in the league, I think the Minnesota Vikings may have put together the most solid 12 quarters around the NFL, to be quite honest. They look really good. And that's a team that I thought could be actually like vying for the top pick in the draft. I mean, I'm not alone to think they weren't very good, but they're way better than I thought, at least through 3 games. They looked really good. And now it does bring into question exactly who the Texans are, what they are. But, you know this league. You can lose like that 1 week and then blow a team out the next week. We see what New Orleans did first 2 weeks, and then suddenly they lose to Philadelphia. So you never know, it can happen. But, yeah, you're right. The Texans did not look good, and the Vikings looked really, really good. And they have for 3 straight weeks now.
And, yes, Sal, that was kind of my point, too, that I was talking with Josh here in the first segment. I don't know yet if there really has been, like, a great team. New Orleans kind of felt like maybe they were going to be that team, going into yesterday, their highest scoring team in football, and really laid an egg against the Eagles, an Eagles team that has also not looked very good. But I think you're right. Minnesota has looked just really solid. They're doing well. Darnold looks awesome. We talked a lot about it, too, of, like, looking at their schedule and going, that is a gauntlet.
Yeah,
through the early parts. I mean, they've dismantled a lot of these teams. They dismantled San Francisco as well.
They did, and now they get Green Bay. That's going to be a really interesting game next week. Vikings at Packers next week. That's a really interesting game. And then the Vikings go to London to play the Jets the week before the Jets come back to play the Bills. And I think that's a really interesting game now for both teams, right? I mean, you think originally, like, okay, if Rodgers is healthy, they should take care of Minnesota, but I don't know. I mean, right now, Minnesota against New York in London, that the morning before the Bills play the Texans, it's going to be interesting television.
All right, Sal, let's not take up too much more of your time. We still got to get to the Bills. I mean, they play tonight, of course, against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And do want to start, though, with the injury report, the Barnes injury report, brought to you by the Barnes from Car Crash. For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Sal, the Bills did have practice this weekend as well. What notably for the Bills on their injury side of things, and then also with Jacksonville?
So, not good news, obviously, to not have Terrell Bernard or Taron Johnson. We know that, but we knew that earlier in the week, guys, that the Bills wouldn't have them. Those are the only 2 players with any injury designation at all. So that's the good news for the Bills, which is Bernard is out, Johnson's out. Everybody else on the active roster is a go. So obviously, no Matt Milano. He's not on the active roster. He's on IR. But meaning the guys who were even a little bit limited this week, DeJuan Smoot, Javon Solomon. So I wonder how that shakes out. So you probably don't need an elevation tonight for a defensive end like you did the first 2 weeks, right? First 2 weeks you had Cameron Klein and Kingsley Jonathan. In this situation, you just basically have DeJuan Smoot available. He'll go in. I wonder if Javon Solomon even gets a jersey. It's probably between Solomon and Tuhill. And Tuhill actually played pretty well, but he's coming off an injury. He was a full participant. So I don't know if Solomon even gets a jersey tonight. He might be inactive, but either way, DeJuan Smoot, Javon Solomon, everybody. And then Josh Allen obviously is dealing with the hand issue. Still a full participant every day, but it's just something to watch for, guys. I mean, he's got the glove on. He's got his fingers taped. So that's just something to watch out for. On the other side, Evan Engram, he's out. Really excellent tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's a big part of their offense. I thought he'd be a real big part of their offense tonight going against the Bills' second level because Bale Inspector's obviously playing for Terrell Bernard and Dorian Williams is in there, but they won't have him. Brenton Strange is their backup tight end, but they've had a week to kind of, you know, work that out too, so I'm sure they'll have a plan. And then they do have three guys listed as questionable: running back Tank Bigsby, safety Darnell Savage, and wide receiver Tim Jones.
I think the biggest thing that caught my eye on this injury report is Evan Engram. I mean, what's that going to mean for Jacksonville's offense? And conversely, what's it going to mean for the Bills' defense? I mean, that's a big name that's not really thought of as a big name anymore, but he's been a key part of their offense so far this year. I mean, what's that going to mean for the Bills' linebackers?
Well, I mean, I do think they'll try to attack the second level of the Bills. I think that's, you know, the coverage of Spector and Williams, to me, has been the concern all week, putting them together. Like, Williams is not a great cover linebacker, but with Terrell Bernard there, you can mitigate that. You know, Spector's not a great cover linebacker, but if Matt Milano's there, you can mitigate that. You put them together, they're very good against the run. Now, it doesn't mean they're horrible in coverage. I just think, you know, it's something that other teams will probably test, and the Jags will do that tonight with Travis Etienne. And if they had Evan Engram, I would think that they would absolutely want to do that. They don't, so I'm sure Brenton Strange will, you know, be a guy that they'll look to attack that area and see what they can get out of it. But we'll see. It'll be a really interesting kind of chess match in the middle of the field with the Bills linebackers in coverage, but no Evan Engram for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Sal, what do you think on the Jacksonville Jaguars overall? I mean, Lawrence was this highly touted quarterback coming out of Clemson. Very good college career. They've added some guys as well, like Brian Thomas Jr. Christian Kirk, they signed to a big deal, but he seemed to be pretty solid. Gabe Davis, Mitch Morris go over there. But you look at their offensive production this year, and really even what they were to end last year, they just seem like a team that just kind of stumbles over themselves. Even though, at this point last year, it felt like the AFC South had kind of opened to them and that they were going to be kind of the dominant team there, they've just never seemed to be able to get off the ground. I used to like Doug Peterson. I've kind of now jokingly said he's Mike McCarthy with better PR. I'm starting to now like fully believe in the joke that it's there. I find myself having no confidence in Jacksonville, even though I'm the Bills fan, that when they play the Jaguars, I get nervous.
Yeah, for sure. I still think you have Mike McCarthy on the brain now. Doug Peterson is a really good offensive coach, but you do wonder about, you know, when Peterson was, you know, winning a Super Bowl with the Eagles and the time that's passed and some of the changes in the game, like, has he changed enough, right? Because so far through two games, they haven't done enough offensively. They've scored 17 and 13 points in their two games. Now, they could have had 24 with one more yard against Miami, but there was a fumble on the play, and then Miami came back and won the game. But, you know, they haven't really been able to put the points up on the board. And as far as Trevor Lawrence is concerned, he hasn't quite developed into that generational type of quarterback. He's still good. I understand why they paid him, and I would too. I mean, he's a really good quarterback, and but coming out of Clemson, you guys remember when he was back as a freshman, people were calling him generational at Clemson. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, whoever gets this guy, he's the greatest prospect since Andrew Luck, and Luck was the best prospect since John Elway, and he's the next one. He hasn't risen to that, but I think that's unfair to him now that even though he's really good, that standard was kind of placed on him, that bar was kind of placed on him, but I think they need more out of him, they need more out of what they're getting. Their offensive line has not been great so far this year. You know, we'll see. By the way, I'm thinking of a Bale Inspector here too. Bale Inspector and Trevor Lawrence were national champions together for Clemson 2018, right? They won the national championship together. Spector would have been on that team. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence would have been on that team. So it's an interesting storyline, you know, here tonight. But yeah, I think the Jags are a team that has a lot of talent, it seems like. Haven't quite put it together. Are the Bills catching them at the right time before they figure it out this year? Or are they going to regroup after, you know, and be ready to come out and show that, you know, this is not the team that they've been? You go back to last year, the second half of last year, they didn't play very well. So, and you're right about the just what did who was it that said Ed Oliver kept using the word weird, right? Everything weird things, weird,
said weird
things
like
happen.
17 times in a minute and a half.
Yeah, like
right.
I mean, you're right about that. Like, it just seems like weird things happen. You know, when they play the Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't buy into the necessarily the historical stuff relating to this game. But when a guy, a player on a team, talks about it, you know that they've thought about that a little bit too. That, you know, for some reason they just haven't been able to beat this team.
Last one, real quick here for you, Sal. What's the vibe going to be around Gabe Davis and Mitch Morse? It's the return to Buffalo. Yeah. I mean, what do you think that's going to be like tonight in Highmark Stadium?
Well, I'm pretty positive Mitch Morse will get just lots and lots of cheers and thank yous and, you know, all of that. I think Gabe will get a lot of that. But I think Gabe will probably also have a lot of people who are ready to tell Gabe Davis, we're glad you're not here, and moved on. And I don't know if that's fair or not, but I think Gabe was a polarizing player his last couple of years in Buffalo. People wanted more from him, and that 4-touchdown game and, you know, that kind of, you know, put that bar a little bit higher and expectations maybe than what it should have been. Gabe Davis was a good player for the Buffalo Bills. He was a good 4-year, fourth round player. I mean, you find how many fourth round wide receivers put together 4 years like that with a team and put together the production, especially the touchdowns. So I think he should get a warm ovation. But look, once the game starts, obviously, you know, be a fan and boo the other team. You know, you're not cheering for Mitch Morse. You're not cheering for Gabe Davis. You're cheering for the Buffalo Bills. I think Mitch Morse will be very well received when he's coming out of the tunnel and, you know, people, you know, giving him, you know, all of his flowers or whatever. And I am interested, though, what the crowd reaction is going to be for Gabe, who I think was a polarizing player for a couple of years.
All right, Sal, rest up. We'll talk to you later. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll hear from you soon.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline, getting us ready for a 7:30 kickoff over at Highmark Stadium as the Buffalo Bills will take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Still looking for calls, 803-0550, the number to call. A little bit of a vibe check with a number of hours here until game time. Zach Jones and Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And, of course, with it being a football game day Monday, it is presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And don't worry, I only have one more read as we are getting connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We will go to John here. John, good morning. How are we doing today?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. So I have more of a question than an observation, but I'm very curious. You guys always have a lot of statistics on stuff, and so I'm hoping maybe you have some experience with this kind of a question. I'm curious how weather, and it doesn't have to be a driving rain or a snowstorm, could just be wet field conditions, wet handling of the ball, affects teams that have a decided advantage or favored over, you know, other teams. My gut tells me that it tends to equalize things a little bit. It softens those advantages, perhaps, but I have no data to support that. So I'm curious what you think. You can't control the weather, I realize that, but I'm wondering if the weather conditions or the wet conditions can, you know, negate some of the advantages that maybe the Bills might have over the Jags. So I'm just curious. I'll hang up and listen to you.
John, thanks for the call. I don't really know how much they actually affect NFL games. A lot of just kind of is how best set up are you to handle, whether it be wet field conditions, driving rain, wind.
Depends
all that
on the
stuff.
Field, too. I mean, a smaller part of it, but it
I will
does
say
depend on that.
The win game against the Patriots.
Yeah.
The Patriots were perfectly set up for that. The Bills wanted to throw, ultimately could throw, only figured that out later on in the game, where the Patriots wanted to run the ball.
Right.
And they designed a game plan to run the ball, where the Bills kind of were struggling to sort of figure out what they wanted to do. That was just more of not really understanding what you really had in your team, I think, for the Bills. And also for the Jaguars, I'd be more nervous if, let's say, they were the Baltimore Ravens, you know, right now,
yeah,
where
time.
It's like,
right.
But even then, I don't really think there's supposed to be much weather happening in the game. I don't think it's supposed to be a rain game or anything like that. I think the rain's happening now, and it's going to be cloudy or overcast. Well, we will know, though, more at around 11:30 when Patrick Hammer joins us. So we'll ask him, of course. But I think it's just more like how your team is set up.
Mm-hmm.
It's less of like the great equalizer, and it's just more of like, and it's going to be kind of annoying.
Well, and now, too, I mean, think about like the way the Bills have been playing the first 2 weeks. The run game has been a big part of it, yes, but the short passing game is also a highlight so far in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. So I feel like short passes, well, they can still be problems if it's wet and rainy or windy
of course.
It's not nearly as difficult as, let's say, a 40-yard Josh Allen heat-seeking missile down the sideline than it is for a, you know, 6-7 yard slant.
I think it is also just team construction.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we talk about it with the run game, but then you also do look at a team like Miami,
mm-hmm.
where they go where it's a little bit more chilly, and their team is much more built for, you know, being a Ferrari and go rather than getting into a bit of a slugfight.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of that I think is where weather comes into it. But ultimately, talented teams are talented teams, mm-hmm. and they will figure out a way to win. 803-0550 is the number to call. Other John number two, we will get to you after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.